Hey, Marketplace listeners, you know, around here, we like to think you're never too young to learn about the economy and financial basics. That's why we're bringing the Million Bazillion Live Tour to schools to teach important lessons about budgeting, investing, saving, and more. It's all the fun of the podcast, but now live, immersive, and interactive. Special thanks to our tour partner, Greenlight, the debit card and money app for kids and teens. Learn more about Greenlight at greenlight.com/million. That is greenlight.com/million.
We can go whenever your game, if we have...
Game.
Oh, okay. Wow, that was super
Let's
fast.
Do it.
Okay, Jay Siebel.
Oh, Lord.
Hey, everybody, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Welcome back to Make Me Smart, where we make today make sense. It is the 14th of June. Happy Flag Day, everybody.
Yes, and I'm Kimberly Adams. Thank you for joining us on What Do You Want to Know Wednesday, which is the day when we get to answer listeners' questions. So if you have a question that you'd like us to answer, you can leave us a voicemail at 508-UB-SMART or email us at makemesmart@marketplace.org.
First question of the day, Jay Siebold, go.
Hello, this is Nicholas from Austin, Texas. With the changes in the Reddit's API pricing model, a lot of third-party app developers are seemingly having to shut down. I'm wondering if you all have any thoughts about, you know, what's going on with this, or is it the protest plan with the blackouts of many of the most popular subreddits? Thank you, and thanks for making me smart.
Thanks for the question. It is. Marketplace's Janet Wynn actually reported on this, and you should go and read her story on the website. It's got a really good rundown of what's happening. But here's the short version. The social media site Reddit, which is known for these user-moderated forums, said it's going to start charging for access to its API. API being an application programming interface, which is software that allows other developers and third parties to kind of tap into the data on a given site and use it on their own platforms. So we talked about this when Twitter was basically like, yeah, we're not going to let people run their third-party softwares off of us for free anymore. So for much of Reddit's history, third-party developers like a very famous one called Apollo, Sync, have used the free API to create their own apps that can make it easier for some users to access Reddit on mobile devices in particular. And the developer of the Apollo app said that under these new rules that Reddit has for charging for access to its data, it would cost them $20 million a year to keep using it, which they can't do it, and definitely can't do it on short notice. And so they basically were like, yeah, we're shutting down. In response to these changes, the Reddit changes, thousands of these really popular subreddits decided to shut down or go dark for a couple days in protest. It may go on a little bit longer because people weren't thrilled with the email the CEO sent out internally about it. Anyway, because they argue that the API should remain free because it's also used for content moderation and research purposes, and also the idea that the users are generating the content, and so they shouldn't be limited in how they could access it. The protest was so large on Reddit that on Monday it actually crashed the site, and because so many forums went offline. Now, I should step back and say there's a couple of reasons why Reddit is now choosing to charge for its API. First of all, Reddit plans to go public later this year, and charging for access to its API would diversify its revenue sources, which looks better on balance sheet, which you have to, you know, start showing to investors when you're a public company. Secondly, Reddit doesn't want companies like OpenAI or these other large language model AI companies using the data on Reddit to train their large language models for free. And Twitter is making a similar move because what's been happening is these large language models need language to figure out how to make the predictions of what someone might say next that gets us these, you know, interesting ChatGPT responses. So what does it do? It crawls the internet on these various sites to see how people talk and how people write online and uses that to help feed the algorithm. And so Reddit's like, well, if you're going to use something that's going to make a company money and it's our data, we want to make money off of it. Twitter's saying the same thing. Reddit CEO Steve Huffman actually said these new API fees are ultimately targeted at large companies and not sort of these smaller startups. But it's, you know, charging everybody. And so it'll be really interesting to see how this falls out, because I feel like there have been discussions for years about who owns user-generated content online and who gets to profit off of it. And previously, it had just been like whatever data they can siphon off of you from behaviors, right? Like what you click on, what ads you use, and selling that data. And users, you know, some people are like, well, we should get paid for that data. And companies are like, haha, no. But now you have these large language models, and there is a specific set of data that you can point to that is a money-making thing. And the companies that control that data are like, we're the ones who are going to make money off of this.
Yeah, totally. And just as a real life, just money example, forget the data part. I used to use a Twitter app called Tweetbot. And I happily paid Tweetbot $6 a year. Really loved it. It, you know, was across all my devices, this and that, blah, blah, blah. And then one day it didn't work. And then the next day it didn't work. And I was like, man, this sucks. And then the third day we all discovered that Twitter had shut down their API because Twitter said, in addition to all the data stuff and knowing the clicks and all this, Twitter said, why are we letting you pay Tweetbot $6 a year for all of this when instead, you know, conceivably we could be getting some revenue from you for advertising and all of that? And it all comes down to, in this instance, my instance, consumers and what they're willing to pay. But this idea that companies are going to keep giving this stuff away for free is zero. It is dead. Not happening anymore.
It's over.
Yeah.
Interesting. You'd pay $6 a year for the Tweetbot, but not the $8 a month for Verified.
I will not pay $8 a month for the check. Right. That's right. That's right.
Did you see that now, apparently, I was reading in Mashable that you're no longer going to be able to send DMs to people who, I guess, either you don't follow or they don't follow you anymore unless you're on the paid version,
which makes it effectively useless. So but I will still get all kinds of weird spam in my DMs from,
oh my gosh,
you know,
so
attractive
much spam
young women
in my
trying
DMs
to
right
sell
now.
Me things. And yeah, totally. Totally.
See, mine are all about crypto.
Young women in air quotes. Oh, are they really? That's so funny. Mine's all about stock advice. We would like to partner with you on the stock, whatever. Yeah. It's all...
Okay. Next question. This one comes from Bryce in Kansas City, who sent us an email. And Bryce's question is, how is consumer debt measured?
They ask is the short answer. So the Federal Reserve and others go out to banks and credit unions and other institutions that make loans and say, how much are you lending out and in what form? Is it credit card debt? Is it mortgage debt? Is it car loans? Is it other kinds of unsecured debt? Is it anything? So the Fed actually has a monthly report, and the quote is that it includes outstanding credit extended to individuals for household, family, and other personal expenditures, excluding real estate secured loans, that is mortgages, right? So that's the main Federal Reserve. The Federal Reserve Bank of New York does a bunch of this kind of stuff. They have a quarterly report on household debt and credit that does include mortgage debt, so you can get a bigger picture there. It's just they go out and they ask. They also, by the way, include student debt. So they get data from the Department of Education. Here's the actual number. Total household debt in the United States, thank you, Courtney Bergshaker, increased by 0.9% in the first quarter of this year to a grand total of $17.05 trillion, right? So that's everything that's out there. And it's, you know, consumers drive this economy. So the idea that consumers are able to get credit, use credit, sometimes profit off credit, and use credit for their own financial gains, you know, that's not a terrible thing. It's a lot of money. It's a lot of money. But, you know, somebody's credit is somebody else's debit. There you go.
Yeah.
Next question. Also an email. Bill in New Lebanon, New York wants to know this. When calculating national GDP, gross domestic product, does the federal government try to estimate the amount of work done under the table? Also a good question.
Yeah, that is a good one. And the short answer to that one is no. It's not included in the GDP because it is under the table and not necessarily calculated. So to back up a little bit, GDP is gross domestic product. It is the sum total of all goods and services produced for sale in the economy. And you kind of need receipts for that. And economists... I mean, you do. Economists use GDP to measure how quickly the economy is growing. And half the numbers that we, you know, give out when we're, you know, reporting on various data, it'll be GDP growth or manufacturing growth or, you know, personal expenditures or retail sales or something like that. All of those numbers are different ways of looking at how much stuff is being, like, bought and sold in this economy, mm-hmm. which eventually is reflected in GDP. Okay, it does... GDP is figured out by the Bureau of Economic Analysis, the Department of Commerce, and it's estimated by adding up personal spending, business spending, government spending, imports, exports. But that work done under the table is part of this underground economy that's not being reported to the government, which is the whole point, and therefore it's not being calculated into the GDP. If you remember a little while back when... the IRS started cracking down on apps like Venmo and Zelle mm-hmm. and Cash App, mm-hmm. saying that if you had more than like $600 in transactions, that you had to start, they were going to have to start reporting it to the IRS. That is an attempt to capture some of the business they knew was being done on these apps that wasn't officially being reported to the government for taxes, yes, but also for the better snapshot of the economy, mainly for taxes. Anyway, also not factored into the GDP is work that is unpaid, such as work performed in the home, that is like every parent taking care of a child or someone taking care of an older relative that's not being compensated for it, or people who are volunteering. It's work. It has monetary value, but it's not calculated into the GDP. And so to recap all of that, under the table work, not included because it is under the table and unreported. And that makes it super hard to measure because in addition to not knowing necessarily what the service is or how much the service costs, if you think about something like the responsibilities often taken over at home, childcare, cleaning, right? In different places, you would have different rates for those things. Childcare in one city wouldn't cost the same as childcare in another. Cleaning services for a 5-bedroom house is different than cleaning services for an apartment. And so those kind of nuances definitely can't get captured in the underground economy because nobody's reporting it. And that said, there are attempts by economists to try to figure out the size of the underground economy. And some studies show that the U.S. underground economy may be 11 to 12% of GDP, which would mm-hmm. make it approximately like $2.5 trillion in 2021. So it's huge.
It is huge. We should also point out here that countries are allowed to include in their gross domestic product whatever they want to include in their gross domestic product, right? There's no Fair. International standard yeah. for measuring GDP, which is why some European countries include sex workers in mm-hmm. gross domestic product. They include drugs in gross domestic product, things that obviously are part of the under-the-counter economy here count over there. And so there's no apples to apples comparisons, first of all. Mm-hmm. And in many, many cases, it creates sort of, how to put this, disparate growth rates and disparate emphasis on various sectors of the economy. Is maybe a good way
which
to
is
that.
So anyway. Funny because we use GDP as if like it's this, you know, universal measuring stick of mm-hmm. global economies, and it's just not.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
So there you go. We are done for today. Kind of a quick one, I suppose. Back tomorrow. For mm-hmm. now, you've got a question about the economy works or politics or anything else that you see out there, you know, let us know. We're at 508 UB Smart, or you can write us at makemesmart@marketplace.org.
Make Me Smart is produced by Courtney Bergseeker. Ellen Rolfes writes our newsletter, and today's program was engineered so successfully by Jay Siebold.
Ben Dolliday, Daniel Ramirez composed our theme music. Our senior producer is Marissa Cabrera. Bridget Bonner is the director of podcasts. Francesca Levy is the executive director of that slice of the Marketplace empire.
As opposed to all of those unsuccessfully engineered programs I work
That's
on.
That's right. Well, we don't want to talk about
fails. That. Universal fails.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.